Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hello, my beautiful babes. How are you? It's Sunday. Oh, my God. Can you believe it? I'd be three episodes into, I don't know, pole dart by now. On a normal Sunday. Do you know what I mean? It was out till 3 o'clock last night. Me, the young ones that come in the flick, I can't keep up. Took my shoe off this morning. My bunion looked like a croissant. Didn't know whether to rub cream into it or eat it. It's hard work, this fringe. We was down the kebab cave, weren't we, Milky? We had a lovely little biryani. Don't do that before a show. Poor old front row. Felt like they'd been hit in the face with a lamb. But this is a gorgeous little podcast. We can have a lovely time. Has anyone heard the show before? Yeah. Oh, a couple of people. Beautiful. In which case, should we welcome our beautiful guests? Welcome to the stage, the wonderful, the gorgeous Lauren Patterson. Come round this way, babe. That's it. Make yourself at home. Gorgeous. And then the wonderful, talented comedian, Morgan Rees. Get yourselves comfy.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the beautiful little flick.
It's beautiful.
Have you been here before?
I haven't. I've been seeing everyone's Instagram stories about this place. I'm so glad to be here. It looks an absolute riot.
That's good. Yeah, it's great on Instagram. I love it on Instagram.
Absolutely.
Beautiful it is. Well, the Fringe. How is it? Is it going well for you? Are you having a nice time?
It's going well so far.
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel is as good as you want to be.
Well, that's all you can ask for. What are you
exactly
expecting a big disaster?
I mean, I never want to tempt fate because I'm very much one for known for saying, oh, things are going really well. And then
disaster.
A global pandemic will happen.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
Ah, you spoke too soon. So I'm like, it's going very well for now.
Beautiful.
We'll see.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Like a bit of catastrophizing.
Absolutely.
Nothing quite like it. My middle name. What about you, Morgan, babe?
Oh, I love the Fringe. Day drinking's one of my favourite things ever. And a little bit of arts thrown in here and there. It's absolutely wicked, isn't it?
What time's your show?
6:10.
6:10. So you drink in the day. You've got a show at 6. Oh, my God, I'd forget everything.
Occasionally. I find it so difficult just seeing friends all the time and go, I'm just used to seeing a friend and going, oh, pint, because it feels like I only get to see these people once a year,
yeah.
But then I keep on pumping into these cunts and then I forget we're all working in the same city,
yeah.
For a month.
It's weird, isn't it? And then also because it does feel a bit like a holiday, and comedy is it is a job, trust me. This month is a job. But then, really, it's a bit of fun, isn't it? And a little bit of a confidence booster with a little, I don't know, you said a little beer was your choice, didn't you, backstage?
Beer is my choice. I have two beers as a warm-up, then I go to gin and slim line tonics.
Oh, very tasty. What about
I've
you,
become
Lauren?
I've become a rum girl.
A rum?
A rum girl, yeah.
What's your brand? See if
like
we can get you a little bottle sent over.
I like Dead Man's Fingers.
Oh,
that
Christ alive.
That's
mine. Sounds like a website I find on Milky's computer.
I know, the first time my boyfriend came over and invited him over for drinks, I was like, I've got a cupboard full of Dead Man's Fingers. And he was like, I don't think I want to come to your house. I was like, it is a rum.
And what's your mixer?
I like a bit of Dr. Pepper, which
Ooh,
I feel like is
field.
Very curveball.
Dr. Pepper?
Dr. Pepper.
Oh,
Dr.
I
Pepper
could see that working.
Very nice.
What is Dr. Pepper? It's like cherry Coke, isn't it?
I think it gives it almost like a cherry kind of kick to it. Or if you have like a cherry rum and Dr. Pepper.
Oh.
You look like you don't trust me.
You sound like you're 12.
Do you have the cider penny sweets?
Yeah. A little pick and mix chaser.
Oh, yeah, why not? I'd be up for that. Do you remember Woolworths?
Yeah.
I used to, well, I'm not going to tell you about when I stole from Woolworths. But I did, regularly. Come for me. So, this is your first Fringe?
No, you've
done loads of them, haven't you?
I've done too many, yeah.
That's it.
Well, I came up, a classic drama student, I came up to do a play.
Oh, did you?
If I came up to a play, that would have been 2014.
Oh, right, what was the play?
It was called Delusions of Adequacy. And it was someone at my uni was putting it on. It was that classic, had to share a bed with one of the other girls in the play who I'd met 2 weeks ago. And I was like, we better get on because it's going to be a long few weeks. But we did get on. We're still friends.
Oh, did you?
And then 15 and 16, I did like Free Fringe, that kind of thing. 14, I did Free Fringe as well, actually. And then 17, I debuted. 18, I came back. 19, I was like, I'm going to take a little year off and come back with a bang in 2020. And again, attempted fate.
That worked, was it? Yeah, we all missed out then. Did you not come back last year, though?
I came and did the weird one last year.
You did?
Yeah, it was
what was
lovely.
It like? It sounds weird.
It was brilliant. It was so good because, like, there was no competition because there was hardly anything on. I got a travel lodge, 2 nights for 150 quid.
Now
I was like, this
talking.
Is a dream. I brought the dog. It was amazing.
I had
you
have a
wonderful
dog in a
time.
Travel lodge?
Yeah, 20 quid. They let you have the dog. My dog loves a travel lodge. Genuinely. I open that door and he dives straight on the bed. And I'm like, you don't know what a good life you have.
Quite right. <Yeah. laughs> I mean, travel lodge isn't the best of lives. Yeah. But, you know. Delusions of grandeur. It's not a bad thing, is
Absolutely.
It? And what about you? It's not your first one, is it?
I've done like split bills in the back of pubs sort of thing. I go on the Free Fringe and all that. I think at the South Side and another pub. But other than that, but this is my first hour, my first debut.
Yeah,
my first debut. It's always your first debut. I've just been really dumb. I'm on my third debut at the moment.
That's when you know it's going well.
Yeah, I'll get that newcomer sometime. 10th time lucky.
Are you up for the... Do you do that, the awards and things? I don't know how you do it. I mean, no one would look at me for an award. I've got too many, to be honest. You should see my mantelpiece, honestly.
Big old you.
Yeah. Well, just loads of big lumps of metal.
No.
Because I've melted them all down to get the... I'll be selling them off. It's been a hard year. It's been a hard year. But what about you then? So this is your big debut.
Yes.
And what does it mean? Is that... I suppose that's a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just doing a big show. Very much like Here's the Headlines About Me show, just an introduction sort of. It's not a show big about anything. It's a little bit of a coming out story. Shock, mesh.
Well, that's a nice... I would say it's a kind of subtle coming out. Oh, but then the little nipple...
And the little nipple thing piercing, comes through,
and then you're like, yes, I am here. And I'm queer.
Well, I have to take plasters. I put plasters on over it because I used to do a bit in the show where I took my top off, but it tugs.
Ooh.
And there's nothing funny about a yell of pain.
No.
It turns out. But, so big old show. A lot of just me prancing around the boat, shouting, screaming, blood apparently. But other than that, it's all taken over.
Do you get your shirt off in the show then?
Yeah.
That's a nice little USP.
Yeah,
I like it. Is that why you're down the gym watching what you're taking? Because you're looking quite buff.
Thank you. I'm an ex-rugby boy. That will do it.
Oh,
so,
is that it?
So it always lingers.
Who do you play for?
Oh, I used to play for Bath. I used to play for like all my local Welsh rugby teams, which is local towns. But then I now live in Bristol, and I wanted to join... I did go to join the local gay rugby team. But it turns out it was the pro rugby team. It turns out the pro team's called Bristol Bears. And I had no idea. I had no idea. It's this big old stadium. I went, fuck me, these loads of gays here. This, look at the money they're pumping.
We've got a budget.
I didn't realise it was the pro team.
But did you get into it? So you were...
Oh, no, oh, no, I'm not into it.
You're not in a travel lodge this year, then I take it.
Or even better, I am in student halls.
Oh, like me and Milky. Seems like everyone's in student halls.
Yeah.
They're so cheap they are.
There's so many comedians floating around student halls that if it wasn't the Fringe, it would probably be worth investigating.
Quite right.
There should not be that many comedians around a student hall of residence any other time of year.
But you, I mean, it's the cheaper... It's definitely the cheaper option, isn't it?
Yeah,
I
definitely.
Mean, I say that, it's still a grand or something, isn't it? But there is a woman that comes around to change the sheets once a week and you don't get that at home.
I had that. So, like, we got here on Monday and then I went and did my show. I can't remember if it was Wednesday or Thursday. And I came back to, like, my sheets had been changed. And I was like, ma'am, have you been and surprised me? It was lovely.
I hope the woman doesn't go near my bedroom when I'm not there. Like I put that padlock on the door. So, the first time you came to the Fringe, was you... Were you given any advice? Because I think what's good about this podcast particularly is that loads of people missed out on the Fringe for various reasons. We'll talk a bit more about that later. And there's certain demographic that don't get the opportunity to come to the Fringe, etc. So what I've been doing, or trying to do in this podcast, since we're in Edinburgh, is getting people's opinions about advice that they got before they did the Fringe and anything, apart from getting a nice mattress and a little meal deal box, which I like, and that's a good little tip. What were you given as advice before you came here?
So when I did my debut, I wasn't really used to being reviewed, because you've never really been properly reviewed until you sort of do your debut. So I asked on Facebook, I said, what's the crack with reviews? I was like, do I read them? Do I not read them? I was like, because to be totally honest, I don't think I'll be able to handle if it's not a good review. I think I'll get in my head and I'll start thinking about it. And I got very mixed advice. So what I decided to do was, because of course you're curious, when the reviews were coming in, I was sending them to, I think it was my boyfriend at the time, and he wasn't letting me read the review, but would send me a nice quote. So I didn't have to read the review, but I knew at least one nice quote from every review. So then I very much embodied that for the rest of the festival. And I had a friend going up the next year who said the same. He was like, oh, I don't really want to read my reviews, but also if they're good, I want to know. I went, send them to someone else, get them to send you one nice pull quote. You can then share that on social media. You'll feel good about yourself, but you're not getting wrapped up in the, oh, they've said this, they've said that. Oh, how many
you've
stars
got good
is
restraint.
It?
Yeah. If someone's written something about me, I'm reading it from head to tail. And it ain't healthy, but I can't resist. Yeah. Morgan, what about you, babe?
I read every word.
And memorise it.
It's about me, of course. I'm devouring it. Yeah. Also, this is my first ever time being up. A competition sets, some of you do like 5 minutes, there's like 12 of you. They might review that, and there might be two sentences. But this is like the first time that there might be a page about me. I'm such a slut for attention. And I'm so excited to read all about it. And if it's awful, then it just fuels me for the next couple of days. I could really do with it.
Oh, does it? I go into a deep depression. Good for you. Good for turning that energy in the right way. That's beautiful. I think it's weird, though, isn't it, that, you know, as a comedian, you know, not that I am one, I'm an icon, but the thing is that you do, you know, I think it's about self-promotion, isn't it? And here, it's shoved down your throat a bit. If you're on social media and someone gets a 5-star or 4-star review, oh, they're going to let you know about it.
Yeah.
But they ain't putting the 3 stars on.
Absolutely. No. And I think we're all guilty of this, and I've been guilty of it already this year, where I go, oh, but that person sold out, and that person, and that person, and that. And I think what you've got to remember is look forwards, not sideways. Just look forward, focus on what you're doing. It's very easy to say that and not to do it, but you say, they're not posting on the days they don't. Like today I posted, I was like, oh, amazing, I've filled out my room for the first time. I didn't post on Wednesday when I had 20 people in there, did I know?
But everyone thinks as well, don't they, that every other comedian's got a fully sold out room.
Exactly.
But that ain't the case.
Yeah, we're all just posting the highlights. It's a highlights reel, and that's why I'm like, just look forward. Don't get distracted. What's going on over there? And what's going on over there?
No, good on advice. The second day I had 0 people come. The show's really good, by the way. I had... had 0 people come, and we gave 20 tickets away for free. So in the end, I just had to stick my head out the door and just went, all right, who wants it?
Yeah.
And 6 people came in.
Amazing.
So it's they all had lanyards. They fucking felt guilty. But it is that sort of thing. It is like some people. Mm-hmm. So like, I know I'm a real big hypocrite when it comes to self-promotion, in the fact that I only ever really post like, if it's a good review or a sold out room, I'll post it. And if someone else does it, I mute them.
There can only be one star.
I just go, it's a month. It's a month. It's just like, you can unmute them in September. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a pessimistic way of looking at it, but most people don't see it, do they? That when you do it, when you're a comedian or an artist, it's a business, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've got to think that you're investing the money. And when you think like that, you think, oh, maybe it's not so bad that I'm sat in a room with, you know, one person who's asleep.
Exactly.
And his wife who's... I remember once, you remember that show we did, Milky, where the man tried to start a fight with me? It was when we did a show up there, and he was asleep, and admittedly, I did do a little dance in front of him when he was asleep. And then he woke up mid-dance, and he swang for me.
No.
He did, didn't he, Milky? Do you remember that? Well, I had Ron with me. My partner is an ex-boxer. I had bare knuckle. And he went for him. Oh, my God, the drama.
God, I love this.
Anyway, next day, full house. So from then on, I started a fight with every bugger in there. Best sold out run of my life, that
Absolutely.
Was. It was beautiful. Now, you're not far from home, are you? Newcastle?
Newcastle, yeah. So, like, genuinely, especially because my show's in the daytime, I know if I do ever miss the dog, I can be on the train at 2:30 and be back in Newcastle for 4, which is a dream.
That is gorgeous. Dream. You wouldn't, I mean, you can't commute. Well, you could if you just went and did the show and then buggered
off. I think if I could drive, which I'm in the process of doing, I would probably drive there and back.
Yeah, I tried driving recently. Forget it.
Yeah.
3 dead. He gave up in the end. The driving instructor said, don't bother, love. I'm used to being driven around. You know, that's just the way I am.
Yeah, that's what you deserve.
And I do. That's just the way. Can you drive?
Yeah, I'm a driver. Yeah. Well, I grew up in rural Wales. You have to drive.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, it was either that or the bus that comes once a month.
Are you in a country Wales boy?
Yeah. Merthyr Tydfil. So then I moved down to Glamorgan, just outside Cardiff. But yeah, but it was like the bus might come once an hour.
Yeah.
It was like, so you had to drive, because otherwise how are you going to get to that field? You know... Like what?
But you're in Bristol now.
I'm in Bristol now. Yeah. So when it comes to like driving, I wouldn't be where I am in comedy if it wasn't for driving. I know that sounds bonkers, but the amount of gigs that you can only get to if you drive, and when you start and you don't get paid as an open spot as well. But like one of the pro comics go, oh, if you drive me, you can get a spot. And so that's why I was like, oh, cool, I'll drive and lose loads of money. Yeah, we're good.
Exactly. I had a gig in Gloucester. It was that 2000 Trees Festival? Yes. Like Gloucester, Cheltenham kind of way. But obviously, I live in Newcastle, so I said to the promoter, I can't do it, I can't drive. And he was like, oh, I'd love to have you on. He went, if I find you a driver. And I was like, who would be batshit enough to drive me 5 hours from Newcastle to Cheltenham? But who would be batshit enough to do that? But I forgot, open spots are batshit. They're just like, a gig? Yes, please. So this lovely, lovely, like, open spot from Newcastle. And obviously I gave him, like, petrol money and stuff. And he managed to get a fee for the gig. But I thought, yeah, like, it just proves sometimes if you can drive, you can get those gigs.
What's
like,
an open... What, someone took the open spot?
So he's quite new in comedy, not yet getting sort of, like, paid gigs. But he was like... If it means I can do this gig if I drive her. And I was like, we better get on. Otherwise, this is going to be a very long day.
What did you listen to?
I think it was a Now That's What I Call Music CD. Because I remember thinking, this is very retro. And I'm
what
here
volume?
For it. I'm not sure. It was an old one.
32 is the best.
How come?
That era's a good one.
It's got... I don't want to get this wrong. Because I don't want all those... Now That's What I Call Music fans coming at me.
Coming at you, trying to cancel
<They're the worst>.
You.
Never forget, Take That's on it.
Ooh. Nah, banger.
One person went, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, bit of a fan there. Which one? Which one's your favourite?
To be fairly honest, I was at a wedding lately, and that's the only song that...
The DJ had? What a rubbish DJ.
On a loop.
No, I actually didn't know it. And then the next morning, it was only that on the radio every time we were flicking.
Ooh.
Where are you from?
Paris.
Oh, la di da. And they made it to Paris, did that? Well, they were global, weren't they?
No, the wedding was not in Paris.
I didn't know that. So, lockdown, both of you have got quite interesting lockdown stories, haven't you? I mean, they're not, you know, a little bit sad. With you, Lauren, but also a little bit interesting with you. Who wants to go first? We can't wait to hear. Look at that audience. They're actually chomping at the bit.
He leant forward. He got so engaged. I saw that.
I smell a story.
I think you go first, Lauren.
Okay, so yeah, I had quite an interesting one. So I was living in London at the time with my boyfriend, and our sort of flat tenancy was ending at the end of March. And obviously we could feel this pandemic thing coming, and we were like, oh, probably not worth... looking for another flat. I think we'd already decided not to look for another flat just yet. And we were like, oh, shit, well, we kind of need to move out with this flat because what if, like, there's a lockdown and we get stuck? So I went back to Newcastle. He stayed in London. We broke up 2 weeks later over the phone. And I was like, oh, that's stressful because I've left all my cookbooks in London and I want them back, please. I really wanted them back. I was like, I've got nothing else to do now. So then I was like, well, that's okay. Like, at least the Edinburgh Fringe will definitely be happening and my career's going to be fine. And then I think the same day the Fringe was cancelled, in those 2 weeks as well, I'd already lost all of my work for the rest of the year. So I sort of sat there and I was like, right, well, I've lost all my work. I don't have a boyfriend anymore. And I thought I was moving back to my parents for 3 weeks, and it looks like I might be here a bit longer. Oh. So then I started working in Morrison's, because I was like, do what you got to do.
Yeah, fair game.
And then made the decision to actually not come back to London. I was like, I'm not going to go back. I'm going to stay up north. And I just sort of spent lockdown jumping between various day jobs. I worked in a supermarket, worked in a restaurant, worked in a theatre, but just kind of doing anything to keep myself busy while gigs weren't there.
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it? Because you do this thing and then all of a sudden it disappears and you haven't got an identity.
I had this like Google calendar, and obviously I had all my gigs in, like, and then all the trains in different colours. And you know how Stacey Stollerman does those tap to tidies? Oh, so there'll be a picture of like a messy house and she'll be like, tap to tidy. So you tap on Instagram and the next picture's the clean house. I had a picture of my calendar on Instagram and I was like, tap to see the devastating effect of the coronavirus on the comedy industry. And you tapped and it was just this full calendar going to a literally empty diary. And I was like, if anyone would like any plans, I've got a lot of time now.
Did you do any online gigs?
I did some. And then I did one, which was from the Stand in Newcastle. So I think this was about July when things still weren't open. But we were allowed to come into the comedy club and like live stream it. So there was no audience. It went out on Zoom, but we were in the comedy club. And I remember coming straight from Morrison's. So I turned up to the Stand in me like Morrison's uniform, looking like a big green bean. And I walked in, the other comics were like, what are you wearing that for? And I was like, it's not a character act. I assure you, this is not a joke. This is just my life now. So often I did Richard Herron's podcast over Zoom the day my ex-boyfriend was sending all my things back up from London. So while I'm doing the podcast, all I could hear was my mum downstairs going, just put it in the living room and she'll sort it out later. And I was like, what's my life you're talking about? Like, Jesus.
What cookbooks were they, just out of curiosity?
Oh, so I used to work for Byron, so I've got their cookbook. I love that. Mob Kitchen. Oh. Big fan of that one. Bosch, some of the vegan ones. Oh. I like to have at least one vegan cookbook. I do it once a week to feel superior.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
And that's about it. But yeah, it was
edgy times, though, weren't they? What about you, Morgan?
Oh, I feel quite bad because I had a banging one.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, I came out and my office job made me work from home. It was wicked.
Yeah. What, so you just sat there all day just on the old computer?
Yeah, it was. Well, I still have a day job as well. Like, yeah. Coming up to the fringe, the arts is so fickle. Oh, I work 8 till 4, and it's like, I wouldn't be doing anything in between those hours anyway. Yeah. So I'm a data scientist. I do that during the day. So I got to work from home, and my biggest bane of my life was commuting. I despised commuting with every part of my being, just arriving at work furious. And then someone just gave me 2 hours of my day back again. And then loads of people lost their lives. But I got 2 hours of my day back again.
Side note.
But Morgan got to work in his pyjamas.
But yeah, it was. I came out as well.
What did you come out as?
Oh, bisexual. I'm a bisexual man.
I see.
Yeah.
I was going to say, not a vegan.
No.
Pescatarian.
Second show. But I came out actually via stage. I didn't do a post and I didn't do a big anything about it. I sort of just relied on the power of gossip. And I just thought, I hope I tell one sort of chatty bitch and she just tells everyone, and it's exactly how it worked. And it was really handy.
And she's here tonight.
What was the homeschooling thing you actually do? And do you work? So you're working now, are you at the Fringe?
Yeah, I'm working at the Fringe while I'm up here.
So you're working, you wake up in the morning and you work, and then you'd.
Yeah, I go to the gym in the morning, I start work at 8, I do that till 4, then I go and help my fryers, and then I do my show.
I suppose that's good though, because it gives your day a real structure.
Yeah, like, I flourish in structure. I'm really boring. I'm a real creature. Creature routine, yeah.
Yeah, but it's hard that you. That you're doing it, but I mean, that's just the reality, isn't it, for a lot of comedians, is that this idea of coming and doing this thing is a huge risk for people. What? And are you worried about the finance? Well, I guess if you're working, at least you've got the comfort of knowing that you've got an income.
Yeah, because I don't really come from money, so but it sounds bonkers, but money's really important to me. And I don't want to live like a king, I don't want to live like anything, but I just need to know I'm comfortable.
Yeah, security.
The way I've always said, if someone asks me to go for a drink, I don't have to check my bank balance. That's the level of money I want. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I'm sure I'll not use drinks as a metric. But I want to get to the point where someone says, you want to go for some champagne? I don't have to check my bank balance. But yeah, so that's why I've got the day job, because I know how risky this business is. And also, you can lose hundreds of pounds of work. They just go, the venue's not open this weekend. We didn't sell enough tickets.
The venue's double booked, so you're gone. Oh, well, I've already spent 60 quid on trains. Oh, that's sad. And it's like, thank you.
I do think there's a real lack of accountability in the fringe, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Like, you've got these big companies and they're, you know, taking all these money off these young people. And then you can say, oh, well, something's not working. And they're like, well, it is the fringe. Yeah. And you're like, well, is it? That doesn't work for anything else, does it?
Why is the risk all on me?
Yeah. There's no train, there's no door on the train. Well, I mean, but the thing is, that is England. That is England now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, there's no accountability in our Prime Minister or anyone in politics. So if they don't take accountability, no other bugger does. They blame it all on the pandemic. They blame it all on austerity. And then they find someone else to be the... Oh, my God, I'm getting political. Listen to me. Depressing much?
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So with this little section where people on social media ask us questions, okay? And I like to give them advice, and this section is called Dear Diane. So I'm going to read you a little Dear Diane. Here we go. Ooh, fruity. Dear Diane, recently I've been sleeping with my friends and it's making me anxious. What should I do? This sounds genuine, actually, so let's not take the mickey. So they've been sleeping with their friends and it's making them anxious.
I don't know what the solution... I don't know what she wants. What's the resolution there? What's the objective? She wants to feel...
Well, yeah, it's like, if it's good, keep going.
Yeah.
But then I guess they're worried that they might lose a friend out of it.
Well, then just sleep with the shittest friend.
Yeah.
The one you don't mind, you're like, oh, well, if the friendship is going to go, it's going to be you, Ben.
The stakes are low.
Yeah.
Good idea, but then, you know, the shittest friends are always the ugliest ones, to be honest. I'm only joking, Milky. I think the truth is, though, if it's making them anxious, they need to talk. Let's be serious. If it's making them anxious, they need to speak to the friend. And they need to ask the friend, are we doing something bad here? Because we might lose each other if we fall in love. And if it was me, people fall in love with me all the time. And I have to let them down easy. So if you have a nice, honest conversation with them, I think my gorgeous person, whoever's listening, if you have a nice chat with them and say, look, this could go either way for us. You know, I love, maybe you like the little... Willie and their tinkle or whatever, and you like that so much you've got to keep going back. It's a little bit like crack, but I don't know. The question is it good enough? Is the sex good enough to lose the friendship?
Yes.
That's what I'd say.
Yes.
Do you agree?
I do agree,
I think
yeah.
so, yeah.
Beautiful. Well, this morning, if you're watching, who is that woman that used to do the on this morning? You know, she was ever so nice. I think she died.
Denise.
Oh, gorgeous Denise.
I love Denise.
If you're listening up there, Denise,
this is for you.
I want
Denise.
Your job. Just kidding, Denise. I miss you. Okay. Dear Diane, recently I turned 50 and I feel flirty and sexy but get social anxiety. I don't like the dating apps. Any other suggestions? Oh, that's tricky. You, Torn, have you ever been on dating apps?
I met my boyfriend on a dating app.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. But I'm not 50 and anxious, but I was still am very anxious. And I think you can do, which I think is maybe better, especially if you're older, you know, those ones where it's like in person, like the proper, like almost like a speed dating kind of thing.
Yeah, the old school ones, yeah.
And yeah, I think something like that. And then you can feel a little
spark. Oh my God, Lauren, I love that.
Yeah.
So look in, go online, have a little look in your local area.
And get dressed up, take yourself on a date before you go on the speed date, so that even if you don't meet anyone, you had a badass date with yourself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous, Lauren. And do you know what? I think as well, like that, join a group. Start a hobby or something, because it's nice to meet people natural without the pressure. You know, because these dating apps, they aren't real, are they? I mean, if someone messaged me on a dating app and I expected a good response, forget it. Yeah. I'm awful on text.
Yeah, I think it's moving the other way now, because whenever I've gone back on the apps, it is the fact that a lot of people are, let's just meet up. I think a lot of people have come and now know we've all got dead text chat.
Yes.
So it's just like, all right, we like the look of each other, should we just meet up and see if there's something?
Oh, straight people are like, in.
Straight in. Good idea.
I like that.
Also, I do totally agree with solo dates. I think solo dates are so important. You don't need another person to give you a license to have a good time. Mm. And also, having a good time is really attractive.
Yeah.
How many times have you been like somewhere you just go, oh, I wish I was having as much fun as that person? So if you're out, I'm sure people will come to you.
I got stood up for a date last year. He texted us not long before to say he wasn't coming. I'd already done all my makeup, and I thought, I ain't wasting this makeup.
I look
fucking beautiful. So I took myself out for dinner, where I was going to take him for dinner. I was like, I'm still going. Had two puddings. I was like, why not?
Fair
no guy. One's judging. And then I went to the cinema. I saw, I think, was it Batman, Spider-Man? There was some superhero one that he'd chosen, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to see it without. I had a great time.
Quite right.
Great time, yeah.
I mean, to be honest, if he's taking you to the cinema on your first date, it can't have been that good anyway.
Exactly.
So good riddance, babe. So, dear Diane, one more. Let's do one more, because we're doing ever so good. And I feel like these responses, whoever's listening to this, is going to really be quite good. Sometimes they're a bit silly, these, but I feel like these are quite deep, quite emotional, and I'm happy about that. Okay, dear Diane, how do I get my husband to help around the house more? Oh, that's easy. A taser. He's a lazy bugger.
I phrase it as tasks for my boyfriend, because
I
think boys are so like, they like video games, don't they? And I'm like, would you like a quest? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, well, you have to take this precious load of washing to the fabled land of the washing machine and put it fucking in there.
Oh, they are dumb men, aren't they?
I can't wait not to meet him.
So, do you know what? Because it is the Fringe, and this is in real time, Morgan, you've got to go in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's just occurred to me that I've changed from calling you Reese and Morgan throughout the whole entire show.
It happens all the time. That's absolutely
Does it really?
Yeah, because it's two first names, isn't it? So a lot of people, like, people just interchange. I get introduced as Reese Morgan all the time. Morgan Reese. I get Matt Reed ever so often, another comic.
Morgan Reese Mogg.
Yeah.
Well, God forbid.
Say that. Whenever I had to do, like, internet optimizations on my name, because if you typed in Morgan Reese, I didn't come up. And if you typed in Morgan Reese comedy, a meme page of Jacob Reese Mogg came up. So I had to get, like, my website done.
That's not the kind of audience you want, is it?
No.
Turning up to your shows, God forbid, to a comedy show.
No, I don't have an audience of Gary Barlow's.
Well, quite right. An audience of Gary Barlow's, judging your songwriting abilities. Do you have a song in the show?
I don't. I am a musician. I'm a pianist.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, my grandfather was Tom Jones's pianist. That's why I've got all the chords written on my arm.
Oh.
Why'd you leave that to the end of the podcast?
Yeah. Find out the rest of the story
probably,
in my show.
I probably know him.
Maybe we probably
did the scene together back in the day. I've met Tom Jones a couple of times.
Oh, wicked. Yeah. John Jenkins is his name.
What a name.
No, his name's Tom Jones.
Oh, that's what, if you really know Tom, you call him John Jenkins.
Oh dear, yeah. Right, the insiders. No, that's your
Yeah, well, my grandfather, he was my piano teacher, and the chords here are the first four bars worth of a song called Willem by Little Feet. Don't worry, no one's ever heard of it, but it was the last song we weren't able to learn together, so I got it tattooed on my arm.
Oh, that's so cute.
That's gorgeous. Well, we're going to do we finish every cop pass by making up a little song on the spot. I hate it. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. So, Milky, what you got for me? Oh, yeah. I like the little vibe here. Don't know your name or where you come from. There's a place we're all heading, but it ain't easy for some. So if you gather together, you'll know you'll find a place for us. Yeah, if you gather together, you know you'll find a place for us. Now, there's a thing called a pandemic. It happened ever so recently. Some of us got stuck, but some of us did decently. But I wasn't one of them, but you two weren't either, except for you, Morgan. That's out of order. Do you want to try a little verse? You don't need to, but it's fun. And if you get it wrong, it doesn't matter.
I love how both of us there just instantly went, I'm shy.
And then you held your mic directly to your mouth. You won it, didn't you, Morgan?
Oh, I think I've never been able to do it before.
Oh, just try it, because if it goes wrong, no one cares.
So what are we talking about?
I've forgotten. I'm the worst person to ask.
Oh, no.
This is nice because it takes the onus off me, because now what I've done is pass the failure over to you.
Yeah.
Should I do two lines and you do two lines? And
yeah,
two, okay.
That sounds fine.
Right, yeah, okay. That's nice.
Morgan's granddad plays the piano. That's something that I didn't know.
My granddad did that too. Wow.
See? It's good. When you stop thinking, it's easy.
Yeah, it's all about the rhymes you don't do, I hear.
Because we're going together somewhere, all together. No, I changed it for the first time. What was it, Milky? Together, we're going together somewhere. Off to your show, Morgan. I hope it's beautiful. I'm going to come and see you both, because I love your shows. You've been beautiful today, and this audience, you've been gorgeous. Thanks for coming. Woo! Because we're all together going somewhere. That's it, Milky. That's what it was. Because we're all in it together going somewhere. That's it. Let's hear you all singing it. Because we're all in it together going somewhere. Oh, we found it. It's there. You see, you gotta look. We're all in it together, going somewhere. Imagine listening to this at home. You'd be over the moon. Thank you to you, Morgan. You've been a beautiful guest. Oh, there's so much we wanted to talk about. This
so
is
much.
Live.
Thank
He's going to his gig live. Can you believe it?
Thank you very
thank
much,
you,
guys.
Morgan. Beautiful. Well, you've been gorgeous.
Thank you very
Lauren,
much.
Lauren, thank you so much. Thank you, my beautiful audience. This podcast comes out tomorrow already. Can you believe that? We've got someone working very hard. Tell your friends. Have a gorgeous afternoon. Thank you for coming. Thank you to Hattrick for making this a gorgeous podcast. That's my little producer there, Chris. Look at him. He's exhausted. And then Diggory in the back there doing the sound. My beautiful text. A beautiful bar staff. You've been ever so quiet. Well done. Yesterday they were talking all the way through and I had to have a go at them. But if you listen to the podcast, you can hear me do that. How's about that? No one gets past the duck chest.
No.
Have a beautiful little rest of the fringe.
Thank you.
You lot do too. Milky, you've got to rush off. We've all got to rush off. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you and good night.